The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, July 17th. I feel like this is the dog days of summer. Are we in the dog days?
What are those?
Hottest. Kind of. I started seeing on the calendar like we're getting to be like a month ish before school starts again. I'm like, this is kind of like feels like the last hurrah. Few weeks. Yeah, last hurrah of summer.
I was just looking at the calendar and thought, oh my, school is around the corner because here come the emails of all. I'm like, stop it.
I think it was Five Below and they had taken down summer stuff and started putting up like notebooks and planners. And I started getting advertisements for planners for, I love an academic dated planner because I think you can start your year over anytime. And you can. Like, you know what? I will start over in August.
If you get to write in the dates, it's whatever time you want it to be.
I'll start in July. Fuck it. Well, man, we're getting to it. Well, I hope whatever you're doing for the last bit of summer is summering. And man, heart goes out to people in Central Texas who are dealing with floods. In now, I saw West Hollywood and Los Angeles dealing
crazy.
With some. And in Canada and Ontario, it looks like the end of days. God bless you all, folks. In Ontario, insane wildfires, hundreds of them just everywhere, and people are evacuating. They said they might need to shelter 3,000 to 5,000, perhaps up to 10,000 people evacuating. So my goodness,
we have some good friends that live in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh dang.
And she sent a picture of their sky and it's all smoggy. And I'm like, isn't that crazy that fires so far away? And then another friend I have that lives in Colorado, same thing, fires in Utah. Like, this affects so many more people than just the people, of course, that are most impacted where the fires actually are. But just that trickle effect and the trickle effect down Sunset Boulevard of that fucking water main blowing is nuts.
No, it looked like you get like a – it looked like a very scary car version of a water slide. There's just that much – like it was that wide. It's as wide as the street and just as much water as would come down a water slide to push a person. It was crazy. So, yeah.
There's people out there – with an inner tube.
Get the kayak.
Surfing it.
Man, well, take care, everybody, where you're at. And if things are dry and warm, smile. You have a pretty good, you know, your area is not on fire or flooding.
Yeah.
Biblically, we're having
a good
one.
If you want to have fun on some water, we've got...
I got some water.
We got some stuff for you February 8th through 12th, 2027. You can join us on Royal Caribbean's Oasis of the Seas, their biggest ship, as we are so honored to participate in the second Crime Wave at Sea with even more of our friends going.
It's going to be so much fun. Such a blast. A great lineup of folks that we hung out with last time. Some new faces, some new creators that did not come along with us last time. So if you want to spend a week with us exploring,
who doesn't?
If you go ahead and say it now, the second that the excursions open, the way I'm booking the Under the Ship tour, so book it with me. We can go together.
Get in line.
I guarantee you, I'm going to
be sold out.
It's going to get sold out.
We've never seen anything like it. Our least popular excursion sold out in 10 minutes. Nobody's swimming with the pigs.
No, yeah. Why doesn't anyone want to do this, you know, hot air balloon excursion? No, I'm going under the bowels of the ship.
I'm going on a 4-hour tour of the ship where I have to wear pants. Why?
You do have to wear pants.
That's the rules. That's the captain's rules.
Exactly. Even if your pants are extremely thin cotton tights, still technically you have to be covered. So do bring pants. Come with me to the bowels of the ship. Come with both of us, though, to hang out on the ship and have fun.
I'll be pantsless.
Drink, dance, take off your pants. We're going to be
there. Yeah. Ooh, that sounds like a t-shirt you could buy on one of the islands we're going to. step off the ship.
Go to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER and let's drink, dance, and take off our pants together.
Yeah, do Hell it. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. It's been a minute since we've gone back to this segment of what the fuck is wrong with men. This one, though, what the fuck is wrong with boys?
Mm-mm.
From G. G writes, "Hello, sinister aunties from across the pond. I've been listening since your collaboration with And That's Why We Drink and couldn't be happier that they introduced me to you guys. Thank you for keeping me awake during commutes and maintaining empathy for every story, despite reading and researching them every day. As a healthcare worker, I've seen and experienced how easy it is to become numb to the horrors you see and read about every day. You do a wonderful job humanizing those that are just names in other media. So thank you." Thank you so much, G. G continues, "And apologies. I avoided Freaky Friday episodes for so long because I thought they were some kind of film analysis episodes that I didn't think would be for me. I've learned my lesson and caught up on those I originally skipped. Growing up, I was always tall. I still am now, but those around my age tend to have caught up in some capacity. Because of this, people always assumed I was older than I was. I can't blame them. How many 5'7", 13-year-olds do you know? But this meant I gained much more male attention than I should have before I even hit my teens. From my mother laughing that, ooh, he just checked out your butt, from some guy who might as well have been in his 20s, as far as my tweenage eyes could tell, or being mistaken for my bio dad's new girlfriend, which probably says more about him than me. I was used to being objectified, not that I enjoyed it. All this happened out in the wild, though, not during the mundane day-to-day or on my way home from school. For accurate imagery, I was dressed in full Poncy private school regalia, a knee-length plaid skirt, shirt, blazer, a bulky school regulation backpack that made all students look like turtles, determined to develop back issues because we weren't given lockers, and a duffel bag full of sports kits because that day we'd had PE. Thankfully, I'd had a break from my pack mule impression during my bus ride home. In the UK, however, it's rare for schools to have collection buses. So this was just a regular city bus swamped with kids from the various schools in the area, all clamoring to make their way home. Despite almost knocking out a few other passengers with my shell, the actual bus ride was spent happily chatting with one of my friends heading in the same direction. My stop came and I got off, prepared for the 20-minute walk home. I thanked the bus driver and noted that a few others had gotten off at the bus stop with me. Not unusual, most stuck to the main road. But there was another school kid taking the same route as me. He walked about 4 feet behind me, and as this Carl Weezer-looking kid had clearly yet to reach puberty, he couldn't match my lanky gait, even weighed down. I kept him in my periphery and continued the walk down the street, thinking about whatever earth-shattering drama had occurred at school that day. But I found myself glancing back, making a note of where he was. He'd been walking the same route I was for a while. It was a straight road, so it didn't seem too odd at first. I shifted my bags and began walking a bit faster, but the distance between us didn't seem to grow. Just as my gut began to sink, the kid stopped, turning toward a driveway. I exhaled and kept up my pace. He hadn't been following me. I'd just been paranoid. Wait, Why did he throw his backpack on the driveway and keep walking the same way as me? As my heart fell into my ass, I kept speed walking whilst this little creep, unencumbered, pursued me. Hey! Was he calling out to me? Oh, fuck no. I convinced myself I was hearing things and walked faster. Hey! Oh, he was definitely calling out after me as I racked my brain for what to do. My mom's boyfriend lived just a little further up the road. I could go to his place, but I had no idea if he was home, and we were moving in with him soon. You're never supposed to go home when someone's following you. So I pushed on, ignoring this kid's voice. I could throw my bags to outpace him, but I'd only just moved schools, and if I lost my uniform, my mom would kill me. The bags were pretty heavy. Could I use the duffel as a weapon? Hey! He yelled out again. He knew I was ignoring him at this point. He must have been following me for at least a minute, if not longer, as I was doing my best to walk as fast as possible without all-out sprinting. Then I saw it. The reason I couldn't run. A roundabout. I was quick on the approach, but cars were everywhere, and there was no way for me to cross safely without waiting for long enough that he'd catch up to me. Again, he shouted out, "Hey!" Would any strangers in their car help me? Probably not. I had to do it. I had to face him. I turned on my heel, prepared to walk backwards at least up to the curb to keep the distance between us. I could have absolutely taken the short arse in a fight, but fear kept me silent. My eyes fixed on him, sweat rolling down my back from the summer heat and my cumbersome apparel. He stood there in a foreign uniform. He had to be around my age, 13 or 14. His hands were by his sides. I hadn't dropped anything he was trying to give back to me. No, instead, this kid gave me anxiety and a loose fist that he jerked back and forth in front of his crotch for all of 5 seconds before turning around and heading back to his own driveway. I watched him, waiting, before turning around, waiting at the crossing and continuing home. My heart races slightly while still writing this, so I'm sure it didn't calm down until I finally made it home. I didn't cry or fuss, but when my mom asked me how my day was, I remember telling my mother what happened. Unfortunately, I was so focused on this kid as a possible threat, I couldn't recall which house he'd ditched his bag at, and my future bonus dad had no idea who this kid could be. Regardless, I changed my bus route home for a while. It was years later that I saw this kid again. My mom was driving both of us back to my bonus dad's, and there he was, walking down the street, oblivious to the fact that only a few feet away, I'd frozen in mid-conversation with my mom, eyes fixed on him as I sank down in my seat. Puberty had hit, and he was significantly taller than me, with enough weight behind him to be a serious threat now. Is that him? My mom's question never got an answer, so she followed it up with another. Do you want me to mount the curb? Although I wish I'd said yes in that moment, I couldn't. And then the moment had passed. We drove past him, and life went on. It sucks to be able to say, and that's the first time I was sexually harassed. But as all members of the Clitorati know, it wasn't the last time. I wish I'd hit him with a sports bag or yelled at him, but it seems my fight or flight response is actually freeze fawn. I wish I'd remembered the house number so my mom could have told his parents. I wish the internet wasn't normalizing this behavior. And I'm well aware if this hadn't happened a decade ago, when Blackberries were having their heyday, there'd probably be a video of it on the internet somewhere. Although I'm not sure if it would have been him filming red pill content or me trying to record for my own safety. Regardless, I've dedicated enough of my afternoon to that cock wombles antics. So if you'd like to hear about the time I got a ghost hug or why the British cannot trust the French teachers, feel free to let me know. Whether this makes it on the podcast or not, thanks for building a community and a space to share. Later, mamas. P.S. Pet tax attached to my scruff, who for once was an emotional support animal instead of me being her emotional support human.
She's the cutest. Look at this little face.
This little face half out the doggy door and then like, little shades. Sun's out, like, puns out.
the star of like a children's movie about a dog that goes on an adventure. Well, you went on quite an adventure. And isn't it crazy that that kid has no idea probably what impact he has
Yeah, that he has no idea that today, the 16th of July in 2026, we are speaking about this because it stuck with G so much, and she heard other people talking about their similar experiences so much that you reached out to share this with us. And that is what the fuck is wrong with boys. They're not taught, one, don't do shit like that. The fact that this kid threw his backpack down and for, you know, however long was yelling, hey, and all it was to feign jerking off. You think that's such a funny joke? It's like the oldest joke in the book, first of all. And you went out of your way and time in your day to chase her down and do that. And then you just turned around and left. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, to a boy like that, it probably, first of all, wasn't the first or last time at the very least. If it was the first time, it wasn't the last. You know, it's that kind of casual misogyny where the G's comfort and safety were not as important to that boy as his urge to do this joke. And that's what it comes down to. It is an entitlement of time, space, reaction, attention. Hey, 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 bitch, she ain't listening to you. Turn around.
Yeah.
Just turn around. So yeah, I don't want you to give yourself too much guff, G, because you're right. Times were different. I feel like societally things feel a little bit safer. And oh my God, the children will be all right. I was at a 12-year-old's birthday party just this weekend. And just the amount of like, they're self-assured and will speak what they want and will say, or will come over and say, I didn't like when that boy did da-da-da. Like, will state clearly what they want. It's, I was like, I wouldn't this articulate when I was your age. Not even by a landslide, I couldn't have said that. But
it's become a necessary thing for them to learn.
Truly, and it sucks, but it's like, it's wonderful to see that I'm like, oh God, you've been empowered by your parents. You know, I'm sorry, G, that your mom said like, ooh, he's checking out your butt. You know, I think there was cultural societal that was almost accepting of this, and now there's a whole set of parents, and I'm talking on microphone to one of them right now who's like nip it in the bud.
Yeah, I was also tall for my age all growing up, and also looked a lot older than I was from a young age, and this resonates a lot. And there's so many casual to the perpetrator casual instances like this. This guy hasn't thought a second about this since it happened. He went and told his friends the next day how funny it was. He might have even told his dad, because if you grow up a home where like that's encouraged and it's funny and stuff, like, hey, listen to what I did. And it's never funny. It's always hurtful. And you never forget about it. There are moments that will just pop into my head where I'm sitting around and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that person said that to me when I was like 13 years old. And at the time, you may even take it as a compliment, or you are so shell-shocked that you're like, I don't even know what to say. I know I'm uncomfortable, but I don't have the words to say or the courage to speak up. And those experiences make us the type of parents we are, that we're like, I don't want my kids to feel like that. So guess what? If you need to kick a guy in the dick because he came up to you on the street and decided to mock jerking off to you, I'm not going to be mad when you come home and tell me that you kicked a guy in the balls because of that.
Nope. I mean, you were chased from your bus. That's a completely, you're in reasonable fear of imminent bodily harm because you don't know what this kid's going to do, that he's got to get himself loose. He's like, I got to drop this bag so I can really do what I'm going to do.
It's insane.
Like, what are you going to do? Because to me, it's like, I need my hands and arms free to, attack. When in reality, it was this, you know, obscene gesture. But I hate to hear, too, you know, you say, like, gee, you said my heart races slightly while I'm writing this, because it does have a physiological imprint on us. But hopefully the sharing will help kind of exercise it. And like Christy said, we're now the adults we wish we had.
Well, and, you know, it's a sticky situation because I don't want to blame that whole generation because it, you know, we all do the best with what we have, and times like have just changed. So if I was a parent growing up back then, who's to say I wouldn't have reacted the same way, because the parents they had it was even more removed from these things being an issue.
Well, most definitely. And I hope you don't take, I don't take it to say all of our parents suck. I just mean, like, as a society, how women's bodies were talked about and objectified media wise and advertisement wise and stuff. So that permeates, that really does like for seep sure. in the idea of like, you know, get your one, go grab, literally run down the street and grab a girl.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I'm glad to see we're all being a little bit more aware of stuff like that.
I hope so. And for those of us raising boys, this is the kind of stuff that you got to sit down and be like, hey, if you see your friends doing this kind of shit, tell them, nah, knock it off. That's not cool. Stand up for people, you know, mm-hmm. and be a voice when maybe yours is the one that's being listened to the most. And don't do stuff like this. It's not funny. And it's harassment, if not mm-hmm. assault.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be known as the kid at school of like, that's the creeper kid that follows everybody yeah. around. Even if you are like, but I was just kidding. It's like, you're right. I think it's up to the parents to kind of tell the kid, like, you're going to be viewed societally pretty badly if you're the one lurking at the bus stop waiting to chase girls home.
Yeah.
So let's stop. Maybe we don't do that.
No.
But you're right. You never know. Years ago, his dad could have high-fived him for it. So,
well, Lord. Wherever he is now, know that we're talking about you and... however you are now, you were a shithead kid on that day. So
this
hope
is,
you've
yeah.
gotten better.
I hope your ears are burning. And when you think about what you did, you does feel like you got kicked in the nuts.
Yes.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
If you've ever tried to get psychiatric care and hit a 6-month wait list or bounced around between sketchy websites just trying to find someone who takes your insurance, same. That's why I was so impressed with Talkiatry. It's actual psychiatric care with real doctors that works with your schedule and your insurance. It's not another meditation app. It's real help without the wait.
What makes Talkiatry different is that it's not just therapy. It's full psychiatric care. That means you're meeting with a licensed medical provider who can actually diagnose conditions like anxiety, ADHD, insomnia, and more. And they can prescribe medication if that's part of your treatment. It's 100% online, but it still feels personal and thoughtful. You're not rushed and you're not left wondering what's next.
And the best part, it works with your insurance. No monthly subscription fees or paying out of pocket for every session. They've got over 800 in-network clinicians and getting started takes just a few minutes. You fill out a short assessment, get matched with someone who fits your needs, and then you can book your first appointment in days, not months. Talkiatry has helped over 300,000 people already, and it honestly makes this whole process just feel doable.
Head to talkiatry.com/creepy and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/creepy to get matched in minutes.
Well, this next one shows us it's not just kids that do this kind of stuff. This is from N and is called Consent and My Aunt Who Bullied Me. N writes, "Hello, ladies. I'm such a big fan and I love you both. I wouldn't have thought to send this in, but I was listening to a Freaky Friday and y'all were talking about consent, even with hugs at a family reunion. And it got me thinking. I've always had problems with an aunt of mine. I vaguely remember a time where she was cool and kind in my earlier years. My theory is, when I started to grow and gain weight, she judged me heavily for it. I also want to mention, she's an entitled hugger. I have never, not once, consented to a hug from her. And yet every time I see her, she goes in for one, like she's taunting me. She started nitpicking. I remember she commented about me putting ketchup on my eggs and bacon once and how I shouldn't. She once told me I walked incorrectly, which if she was really worried about, she would have told my parents in private and not yelled it at me in a public park. Anytime I had any sort of objection to literally anything, she'd pick on me, mock me, say stuff like, ha-ha, you don't like it? Too bad. Get a job. Kind of shit, with a nervous chuckle and a smirk on her face. I was undiagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia, so I had a really hard time as a kid. I didn't have the language to say, I'm extremely overstimulated and I don't want to go to XYZ. She feeds off conflict, I think. She would revel anytime my parents and I had one and she was there. One time I was so upset and we had a big blowout. She came in my room after, with that fucking smirk on her face. And before she could say anything, I yelled, "Get out!" I think I was about 8. And when I was a teenager, it was nothing but, "Ha, get a job. Get off the computer. Rest? You don't need rest. You're 16. My parents always knew I had issues with her, and no one ever stood up for me. I was in hair school one year while her and my other aunt were visiting. Now, when they get together, it's bad. They gang up on me. Even my mom has said they gang up on her. They're such miserable bitches. Anyway, I was on my practicum at a salon closer to my house. I went outside for a smoke on my break, and they walked by and saw me. Instantly with the, "Well, well, well, doesn't look like you're working very hard," and put the fear of God in me that they'd tell my mom. Fast forward a year, and I'm on vacation with my partner in my aunt's city. It was my first solo young adult trip without my parents. I didn't want to see her on the trip, obviously. We stayed with my cool cousin and avoided my aunt for a week. The day I got home, I got messaged from my cousin relaying the earful they just got from the aunt about not making an effort to come see her. She had also asked about my weight, how I looked, and if I was still smoking. I was 23 at this point. She said, "Well, if she's still smoking, I wonder if I should tell her mother." I lost it. I decided to confront her the only way I knew how at the time, via email. I laid it all out in that email, how she's bullied me and how she's basically blackmailing me with this, how her sense of entitlement with me is weird considering she also bullies me. She replied with, "I look forward to discussing more when I'm in town next." Extremely frustrating. I spent a good few years not going to family gatherings because she was there. I missed out on a lot, and I'm still sad about it. My grandma died, and I was forced to face her. Since then, I had told my parents I smoked and told them the whole story. Still, no protection from them, but whatever. I've tolerated my aunt since then. I'm 40, but just barely. Every single time we're in the same space, she's on me. She claws me in for a hug. She puts her arm around me and gets really close to my face. It makes me want to vomit. And every time, I'm so disarmed, I can't confront it. It literally makes me want to rip my skin off after. Unfortunately, I'm living in my mom's basement currently, and she's in town for way too long yet again. My nervous system has been so shot. I feel like a kid again, hiding from her and sneaking into the kitchen when she's not there. Thanks for reading. So much love to you guys.
Folks like this, you just want to go, what is wrong with you?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
What's going on?
Your niece, your sister's daughter, your sister's kid. Why are you being a bully to her? You're twice her age. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's weird to be like, I'm going to bully this kid about their physical appearance or their age that you can't control. Like, it's folks like this. It's a wake up call to go, it's not me. It's her. She's a wacko. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know why she suddenly or why she particularly picks on you, but it is a bigger reflection of her, I think, than you at all, especially somebody who would try to blackmail their own family members, be like, well, I guess I have something over you now. What in the world are you talking about?
You're 23. You're a grown adult. If you want to smoke a cigarette, who's calling up your mom to tell her that?
Bizarre.
And I got a real problem with your parents not standing up for you because this is nuts. And it seems like it went on for the majority of your life. And I just will never understand, even if it's family, why parents will allow certain family members to talk to their kids that way. You don't want a confrontation? Who cares? She said, yeah, they gang up on me too. Probably. That's also probably why they gang up on your kid, because they know you're not going to say anything to them because they've beat you down over the years.
I mean, for real, you're right. It's like, that's a pattern I think we're mapping now, mother. Mm-hmm. Maybe we break the pattern. But yeah, I mean, for your own mental health too, I hope anytime she says or does anything, you just think like, you pathetic old witch.
You old miserable bitch, like you know, said.
You old miserable bitch. You pathetic nothing. Like, you get out of here before somebody drops a house on you. You know what I mean? Like, get out of here. That type of attitude to the entitlement again, to think, well, I can just declare, you know, like you're walking incorrectly. Okay, Winnie, the Ministry of Silly Walks from Monty Python. What the fuck
does that even mean? Don't you walk correctly?
Also, don't put ketchup on your eggs. I'm sorry. When I'm traveling at a hotel and there's a continental breakfast, the only way I'm eating those scrambled eggs is with a little ketchup. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm like, you got to get, there's got to be something in there because they're probably powdered eggs. They're so in that case, I'm eating them right. So shut up, Aunt Bitch. I'm doing what I want. And when you see your face, hear our voice and go, shut up, Aunt Bitch. Hey, Aunt Bitch, shut up. Just think that in your head. And then she can say whatever you want. You just ignore and go, yeah, sounds good. I don't know. It's crazy.
I don't even think you should say it in your head. At this point, you're 40 years old.
That's true. You're 40.
If somebody like comes at me now, no. We don't do this now. Because guess what? I'm not 16 and you shouldn't have been doing it then, but I'm 40 now and you're sure as shit not going to do it to me now. Because regardless if you are living in your mom's basement or not, you are your own adult. Mm-hmm. You're not a small child that even then shouldn't have been treated like this. But some people are just so miserable with their own lives and they get such joy out of tearing others down that, in my opinion, they're envious of, and for some reason, they got to tear them down. And misery loves company. So her other sister gets involved, and it's like Cinderella and the Wicked Stepsisters.
100%. And I think apologies to our British listeners, because I know this is apparently a really bad word, but I feel like, you know, it's the type of person that you can say, like, just because you're a miserable cunt doesn't mean you have to let it leak all over the house and splat on me.
Don't say cunt and leak in the same sentence.
I think you do. And you say, I think you need to keep your country over there away from me, because I'm not a miserable person and you are, and you're really harshing everything out over here. So why don't you go fuck off?
Yeah.
And I think you, the next time I visit you, you'll be in a graveyard. So please.
True. Yeah. Instead of your name, we're just going to have the gravestone say cunt.
It just says, all, it's all, you
all
know,
her
like,
life, she was one and she died one as well.
We're going to go to the mortuary or go to the headstone place and we're going to see if they can get, you remember when you're in high school and it says like 05 or 99 or, you know, 2021 and it's the big numbers, but it's just C-U-N-T. Just the big monument numbers cut out, spelling it across. We could probably get them to light it too. I'm just sorry you've had to deal with this and people like this. Just, it's like you're making the world worse.
Yeah,
make the world better or fuck off.
She's, especially to your own family, this is embarrassing. She should be embarrassed to be an adult acting that way. And your mom might not have ever stood up for you, but you can stand up for yourself now. You have the power.
You have the power.
Call her a cunt and film it. You just have to do audio only. You don't have to show her face. And you can just send it to us because y'all really do hate that word. And so I'd love to know how she reacts if you called her that.
On the flip side, sit her down and play her this.
Yeah. Also, this, we're Americans, so we love to say the word cunt. And I'm sorry, Aunt Bitch, but you are one.
You are indeed. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, Anne, that you've had to deal with all this. But hopefully a little hype up from your Texan aunties have helped you out.
Yes. Cunt. Put a little Texas swag on that one.
Yeah, you got to get it two syllables if, long.
Shut up, you cunt. Cunt. Like,
We're going to have to bleep all of that out on YouTube because they're going to trigger this video.
Fuck them. Fuck you, YouTube. You're part of the problem. Well, thank you so much for sending that one in.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
If you've tried to quit vaping or smoking and keep ending up right back where you started, you need to hear about Fume. You've probably tried to quit more than once. You are not the problem. How you're trying to quit is. Pouches, patches, and gum only deal with the chemical side and keep you tied to nicotine.
But cravings aren't just about nicotine. They're about the habit, the hand-to-mouth motion, oral fixation, the momentary pause. When that loop is broken, cravings spike. Fume replaces your habit with a flavored air fidget device that gives your hands and mouth something to do, distracting cravings without nicotine, vapor, or batteries. Don't just try to quit. Upgrade the habit loop. Reach for Fume instead. We recommend the Journey Pack, which comes with the Fume device plus 6 delicious flavors. We love a mint flavor. That's crisp mint's kind of my go-to. And I like how it makes you, it kind of gives you a refreshing feel whenever you take a little suck off of the flavored air. Plus, it just feels good in your hand and it does. Looks good on your desk.
You got a nice looking sleek wooden, what kind of looks like a nice pen on a little stand on your desk, but it has fidgety things, the flavored air. It comes in handy when you are trying to break that habit.
Over a million people have already used Fume to quit differently. Join them today and grab a journey pack. Plus, get a free gift with purchase with you when using our code CREEPY.
Addiction is really good at saying later. Don't let it. Head to tryfume.com. That's TRYFUM.com. And use code CREEPY for a free gift with your first purchase. Thank you, Fume, for sponsoring this episode. This next one is from Anonymous, who uses they, them pronouns. And the subject is Havana Syndrome. Anonymous writes, I was living in a major city on the West Coast a decade ago. I worked at a pet-oriented big box store and was always picking up extra shifts at other locations to pay my rent. There was a particular location at the store I would occasionally fill in at across town where something was always happening. I had many big moments at this store, from assisting a very rude influencer and his entire filming entourage to becoming temporary guardian of a scarlet macaw named America. However, the moment that always sticks out the most to me was a random weekday afternoon I had been called to fill in at this spot. I was cashiering alone when an upset woman walked in. I said hello and asked how I could help, and she immediately began her story. She told me that she lived in an apartment complex across the street and that they were trying to force her out. I told her, I'm so sorry they were doing that to her. I asked her if she's contacted anyone, and she said she had, but that it didn't matter because the police were in on it. Then she told me a company was trying to buy the building she lived in, but that her and a few others were fighting it. She told me, they shoot us through the walls, have been doing it for months. Not sure how much longer I can take it. I think I'm going crazy. I remember telling her how sorry I was and that I believed her, and I hoped it got figured out, and she thanked me and walked right back out of the store without another word. I never saw her again. After my shift, I went outside, and there was an apartment building across the street. I had never noticed it before because I typically used a side street to come and go. It was heavily under construction at that time, scaffolding everywhere. The entire area seemed to be gated off. After listening to you describe Havana Syndrome, I immediately thought about this woman. At the time, I assumed she was dealing with mental health issues, and I just wanted her to feel understood. Now, I just hope she's okay. Love you both.
Man, this is really rough because there's two things that could be happening, which is to say, like, LRAD devices, long-range acoustical devices, and now we know, like, Havana Syndrome with these micro devices are real things. 10 years ago, not quite as prevalent. And so oftentimes, there's a whole subset of folks called the targeted individuals. Have you heard of them?
I don't know.
They believe that they're gang stalked or targeted. Like oh. they, and they'll, yeah. Yeah. So either this gal was maybe suffering for something like that, because it's a research in the gang stalking phenomenon, the targeted individuals phenomenon. That's like a repeated claim that they're being shot with electronics through their walls. The really insidious thing is there's electronic devices that can be shot. Yeah. Through the walls. So,
and I mean, maybe we didn't know about them 10 years ago, but the government sure did. And if somebody wants to take that building for whatever reasons and regular people are standing in the way, they'll find a way to get it.
No, I think so. And actually, man, 10 years ago would have been, what, 2016 at this point? And I think they used LRADs as far back even like 2014, like police and protests in New York and things like that. So, I mean, police departments have it. In 2014, who's to say you can't, if you're a construction company or a developer, you want to go, maybe we just go turn that machine on every day for 3 hours and just sort of, oops, if it gets turned in the direction of the tenants, maybe they just want to leave. So it's, I don't, you know, because there are people who are unhinged that have these claims, doesn't mean that everyone who makes these claims is unhinged, because right. the devices are real, you know?
Man. True. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, just a situation where you'll probably never know. But the difference is back then, all of us would have been like, oh, she's going through something. This isn't a real thing. And now we know, no, it is a real thing and it happens all the time. And perhaps it was happening to her.
Right. And it's like so insidious because it's invisible and it's hard to prove. Mm-hmm. And it has been taken by that community and been like, no, it's all happened to all of us. And also, we're probably just subject to radiation or radioactivity, but like electromagnetic frequencies in the air from Bluetooth and our phones and our watches and I'm not saying everybody, but I bet some people on a sensitivity level might feel like, man, this is like too loud. So yeah, who's to say you can't just turn it up a little bit? It makes them want to leave. Well,
thank you, Anonymous, for sending that in.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Man, I tell you what, if I'm trying to run out the door to go get on a bike ride while, or before the sun gets like sweltering and knocks me out and I'm like, I got to have a treat. It's going to be 15 miles. I want to throw something in my bag. I need snacks that I can grab that are not going to derail the reason for the bike ride, which is to take care of myself and eat better and just generally nourish this machine that I'm running around in. And that's why I love Hungry Root. It simplifies lives. It's been a game changer for saving time on meal planning, doing the food shopping, making sure the stuff I have in my house is what I want to grab for.
Hungry Root makes healthy eating effortless by planning your meals, stocking your cart, and delivering everything you need each week, all tailored to your dietary preferences, health goals, and budget. The personalization is unmatched, and they take care of the guesswork so you can just enjoy your meals. With over 50,000 chef-crafted recipes, many ready in just under 15 minutes, and over 1,000 grocery items, from smoothies, snacks, and salad kits to sweets and supplements, it's easy to find food that fits your lifestyle.
Quality is a top priority, too. Hungry Root screens out over 200 additives and only works with trusted, clean label brands. You'll find high-quality meat and seafood with no hormones or antibiotics, organic produce, and non-GMO options. What Hungry Root stuff have y'all been nomming on?
Oh, man. We've never received something we didn't like. Some of our favorites. I love a pretzel bun because I feel like I'm getting to eat a soft pretzel, but with a bunch of good stuff in the middle, which I guess is exactly what that is that I just described. Hungry Root's savory honey mustard chicken pretzel sandwich. Kids were loving it. We were loving it. The cheesy chicken pesto naan pizza with shredded mozzarella cheese. They got grain-free vanilla parfaits. I love myself a parfait. I also love myself roasted red pepper hummus with chips. They got that. And I've told y'all before, and it sounded weird, but they've become one of my favorite snacks and a great one to throw in if you are going on a bike ride. The organic dark chocolate banana bites, and recently learned they're made from upcycled bananas, which just reduces food waste. So it's a win-win.
It tastes good. It feels good. And you feel good about eating it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to love Hungry Root as much as we do. For a limited time, get 40% off your first order. Plus, get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/creepy and use code creepy. That's hungryroot.com/creepy, code creepy, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life.
Well, this next one's from Kelsey, and the subject line is, did I prevent a B&E? Hello, Christy and Heather, longtime listener, first time submitter. I'm so glad I found this podcast. It's my favorite thing to throw on while I'm commuting to work or traveling to see my long distance partner. Y'all are so thorough, thoughtful, empathetic, and funny. And being a blue dot in a sea of red, it's refreshing to listen to a podcast of like-minded individuals. But anyway, this all happened when I was in middle school in the early 2000s, maybe 2007 or 2008. In my suburban city, there was a string of home invasions and robberies within a 2 to 3 block radius of my house. Understandably, the people living in my neighborhood were on edge and vigilant after the first couple of home invasions. Everyone was worried their house would get hit next. One evening, around dinner time, my family saw police cars outside in front of our next-door neighbor's house. We'd already had an idea of what had happened, and after speaking with the neighbors, they confirmed that someone had broken in. Next door to us lived a small family: mom, dad, a 3-ish-year-old daughter, and a dog. The night of the home invasion, the mom and daughter went to the grocery store. I'm not sure where the dad was. When the mom and daughter returned home, the mom had to take 2 trips in to carry all the groceries from the car. When she came inside from the second trip,
she asked her daughter why she had closed one of the doors in the house that was previously open. The daughter told her that she didn't close the door. The mom went to investigate because she was absolutely sure that the door was open when they got home. When she opened the door, she found a brick on the floor and the window was open like someone had just climbed out of it. The robber was literally in their house when they got home. I'm so thankful that everyone was okay. The robber could have easily used that brick on the little girl or the dog when he was briefly in the house alone with them. And since they interrupted his heist, he didn't actually take anything from the home. Now, my family was even more rattled. The home invasions were getting closer to us, and although we had an intimidating German Shepherd, we now knew that the perpetrator was prepared to bring in bricks or other objects that could be used against a dog or a person that gets in his way. Well, one night, a couple weeks after my neighbor's house was broken into, I was staying up way too late for a school night. I decided to sneak into the kitchen to drink a glass of water before bed. I didn't want my parents to know I was awake, so I kept all the lights off and tried to be as quiet as possible. Through the kitchen window, I had a direct line of sight of the neighbor's house. Not the neighbor that had their house broken into, the neighbor on the other side of us. When I was standing in the kitchen, looking through the window and drinking my water, I noticed a hooded figure walking up my neighbor's driveway toward their backyard and looking at their house in a shady way. I thought, oh, it's him! It's the robber! I panicked and turned on the kitchen light. I immediately realized I couldn't see outside as easily with the light on, so I turned it back off. The light must have spooked the robber, because when I turned it back off, I saw him sprinting down the driveway back to the street. I ran as fast as I could back to my room and hid under the blankets. My mind was swirling. Did I just scare the robber away from my neighbor's house? Was he planning to break in while they were home this time? Or was he casing the house so he could break in while they were gone? Did he see my face? Was he going to come back for me now that he knew I saw him? In retrospect, I probably should have told my parents or reported it to the police, but I was like 12, so I wasn't really thinking, and I didn't know what to do. That was about the end of this guy's home invasion spree. I believe he got one or two more houses a couple blocks away before finally getting caught. So, that's my brush with true crime. I'm attaching a picture of my fur baby, Honey. Fun fact, she's a Chihuahua, a pit bull Chihuahua mix. I always joke that she has the worst traits of both breeds because she can be a little spicy. When she's spicy, we call her Honey Sriracha. But in all seriousness, she's so sweet and I love her.
Well, I just have to say a Chihuahua. So a pit bull and a Chihuahua.
Who did what to whom is the question.
That's the question. And judging by the look of this dog,
yeah,
it's bigger like a pit bull.
Yeah.
I don't think a Chihuahua gave birth to this dog.
Surely not. Yeah, maybe a male Chihuahua hit a lady pit bull up. I don't know. Or it's a really small puppy that just blows up inside.
Or, God, a male Chihuahua and a female pit bull.
That male Chihuahua was like,
stand on the couch.
I can get it. You lay down. I'm gonna get up back there. But man, this is a cute Chihuahua.
And oh, very.
I have one pit bull and one Chihuahua, and not mixed between the two.
No,
I can't imagine.
But people. Now you know what it would look like.
I know, a little goose puff. Man, this is scary, especially if you saw. I think you did see a potential.
I think you did, and I think you did progress. Scare him off.
I think it was a B&E in progress.
Yeah, for sure. And that's even scarier because they. He was going to rob it then when they were home. At the very worst case, he was about to rob it. You stopped it. You're a hero. Even if not, he was casing the joint. Mm-hmm. You still stopped it and you're a hero. So either way, you're the hero in this story.
Well, at the very least, you, just at least rattled him, disrupted him. But it makes you worry about folks like this that are bold, brazen, willing to break in, especially with the mom coming home with the daughter and he was still in the house.
So because scary.
The fucking Golden State Killer started out just breaking into people's houses. Then he would break into people's houses and sniff them. Then he breaks into people's houses and steals. You know, it's like they escalate from there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes it is just a ring of stealing things, but other times you don't know what they're breaking in for. So it's better to nip it. Nip it in the bud.
So I'm always worried about home invasions. And the thought of coming home and someone is already there. Well, we've covered several stories that involve people coming home and there's people already in their houses. But the one that stands out is Susan Kuhnhausen, who came home and a man was waiting in her bedroom to do what men who break into women's houses and wait in the bedroom were waiting to do. And she beat the shit out of him and took him down. And that's the energy that I want all of us to bring.
Destroy him. Yes, it's
destroy him at all costs.
Yeah, episode 128. No, and in any of her interviews and stuff, you just like hear the resolve. And I believe she was a nurse as well. She had a lot of determination and yes. had seen a lot. And it, but was just like, nah,
no, not today, not today, bitch.
So yeah, like you said, we all be eye terror outers.
And it's so scary because your house is where you're supposed to feel safe. So if you come home and somebody's already in it, well, you're, you know, you've got a situation on your hands. I'm glad he left in this situation and didn't use a brick to beat somebody and go about their business. Those types of robbers, to me, they really are just there for stealing to a cash grab type of situation. Because if he wanted to stick around and do damage, he could have.
Yeah, especially the mom and daughter coming home. Yeah, you hope. Just take the things and please leave.
Please
just,
leave.
Just take them. I told you my friend's mom came home and she was being robbed. She was a third grade teacher. And it was two like 19, 20 somethings where had unloaded a lot of her stuff out into the yard. It was like straight up looked like they were moving her out of her house. And she said later on, like, I should not have done this. And I don't know what happened. But she got out of her car and she went, hey, what are you doing? You put everything back where you found it right now. And the guys were like, okay, like whatever was about her, she had this like teacher vibe and they were like, okay. And they started moving things back in the house. And then she said something came over and was like, you know what? Just get out of here. Cause she was like, they're going to turn on me. I can only keep them under my control. She was like, it's fine. Just drop it. Just
they
leave.
Were startled for long enough to be like, what is happening?
But as she sees them carrying things and she's watching them, she's like, in a minute, they're going to just drop this and be like, screw this lady. I'm going to kill her. Or we're just going to leave. So she was like, you know what? Just leave my things.
Is this the middle of the day?
Yeah. It was like, she came home from teaching school. So this was
insane.
It was, yeah. But
just leaving it on the lawn, broad daylight.
Yeah. I think they thought, well, you know, she's not going to come home for a while. We can get it in the truck before anyone leaves. Like maybe people will think, you know, I don't know, they're workers
or movers something.
But yeah, she later said, like, I do not know what happened to me because it was like an out of body experience of just being like, you do that. And she said, I just went to teacher mode and they went into little boy mode and we're like, yes, yes, ma'am. We're sorry. Yes, ma'am. Okay. We're so sorry. And then she was like, get out of here.
Just leave.
I'm not trying to fist fight these guys today.
No, but
that was crazy.
Sometimes in those moments, you learn something about yourself you didn't know before.
You know, that you're just like, oh, I'm like fight, flight, or just delegate, I guess.
Like, I go into mom mode.
For real, for real. Well, I think you broke up a, absolutely, you broke up a B&E, Kelsey. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
Summer is full of vacations, weekend getaways, and spending more time outdoors. And when you're packing for a trip, the last thing you want is to be worrying about your hair. That's one reason I've loved having Nutrafol as part of my routine. It helps me feel more confident about my hair, whether I'm going to the beach, just walking around town, going somewhere in my own hometown, a long weekend away somewhere. Nutrafol supports hair health from within. It helps you grow stronger, visibly thicker hair so that those, that feeling when moments happen more and more often. You know that feeling when you leave the salon, you're like, God damn, I look good.
Right? You're like, damn, I'm like walking down the street with a soundtrack I can't even hear.
Yes.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements.
Let your hair be one less thing to worry about. See visibly thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair in 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code CREEPY.
That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY. Well, this next one is from Nata, and the subject line is, what the fuck is that in the sky? Hello. About a year ago, I found this podcast and decided to catch up from episode one. I absolutely love you guys and would definitely include you both in my dream rotation. I finally reached about halfway through 2025 and decided that soon enough, I'll be up to speed. So maybe now I can submit a story from my life. When I was about 7 or 8, I went on a trip to Kentucky with my family. My mom and brother, who was 9 or 10 at the time, my stepdad, stepsister, 11 or 12, and stepbrother, 8 or 9. We were visiting my stepdad's friend out in the middle of nowhere. I don't even remember why. His name was Wayne, and he let me play RuneScape on his computer. There really wasn't much to do for us kids, so we would end up outside a lot, running around the field behind Wayne's trailer. One night, while we were waiting for dinner to be ready, my brother and I were outside with my step-siblings. I was with my stepsister, and the boys were a little ways away from us. The sun had already set. We've always eaten really late in my family, and it was one of those places that has no light pollution once the sun goes down. I remember sitting in the grass with my stepsister, and I can't remember which one of us looked up first, but we looked up and saw a massive black shape moving across the sky. In my child brain, I thought it looked like a transformer. It made no noise, and it moved pretty slowly. We called the boys over and told them to look up. We all stood in a group, trying to figure out what this thing was as it was directly over us. All of a sudden, the shape looked like it angled down toward us and started descending. Not slowly either. The thing picked up the pace and was coming at us on a mission. I vaguely remember my stepbrother saying, "That's not a plane." We all freaked out and ran back to the trailer. My brother was holding up the rear to make sure no one fell behind and yelling at us to go faster. The back door was elevated from the ground, and you had to go up some steps up to a wooden deck. There was a gap between the wood from the deck and the door of the trailer. Not a huge gap, but big enough that while we were all scrambling to get inside, my brother's foot got caught in the gap, and when he fell, he took us all down with him. Poor guy twisted his ankle bad, but we were all so panicked that we just yanked him inside and slammed the door shut. My mom was absolutely baffled at the commotion of 4 sweaty, crying children on the floor yelling over each other, trying to explain what we just saw. She went outside to check, and it was gone. My mom scolded us for my brother getting hurt and made us all go eat dinner. I'm 27 now, and when I met my girlfriend, she asked me on our second weekend if I believed in aliens. This was about 2.5 years ago. It was my first time sleeping over, and she wanted to show me her favorite documentary, The Phenomenon. I told her this story, and she wanted me to see if my brother remembered it too. The next time I saw him, I asked. We don't remember much from our childhoods. Gotta love trauma blackouts. But he remembered this just as clearly as I did. My girlfriend tells all of her friends now that aliens almost abducted me. So that's my story. I would love to hear what you guys think. I have plenty of other stories that I would love to share, including how my Bruja grandmother used me as a conduit during a seance once. Stay beautiful and keep it creepy.
Wow. What a flex, first of all, to be like, well, my girlfriend almost got abducted by aliens, so I don't know about y'all's.
Right? Two truths and a lie. How many of us is dating someone who was almost abducted? Who's a chosen one, by the way?
Right?
Man.
The fact that 4 of you saw it, there wasn't nothing there, you know? Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, undetermined, but there was something, and you all, I think, knew that's not a plane. We all know what planes look like. And from a very young age, we know what planes look like.
Oh, for sure. And especially if it was it could have been an experimental aircraft, mm-hmm, from a military base. There's a couple of military bases not too far from Kentucky that an experimental aircraft was, 15 minutes to fly from another state or something like that going fast, especially if it's large, triangular, kind of like moving strangely, mm-hmm, a massive black shape moving across the sky. I think more of us have seen, the folks that have seen UFOs are probably like at a 90 to 95%. You saw an experimental, either U.S. or foreign, like, aircraft, something that's like badass that we can't even like fathom that we own. You wouldn't want anyone to know you own something that badass. Right? So you'd be like, all right, kids, you're crazy. That was,
yeah, especially other countries. And maybe even before that, the, mm-hmm, public of your own country.
Yeah, they're not trying to tell us what they can do to us. They want to keep it a secret.
I've never seen any of these things, UFO or not. I've never seen a giant black triangle just hovering above my house or anywhere I've been.
I know. I feel like I got to go map out where people see these things at and then just start. Those are Paris is going to say, where do you want to go on a trip? I'm like, I want to go hiking in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Like, why? Don't worry about it. Meanwhile, he finds a file in the car that's like the last 1600 sightings of them. Like, don't worry, babe. Well, I would be interested if any other Kentuckians recognize it. Thank you, Nata, for sharing that. And please send us the email about your grandma using you as a conduit. That
yes.
Fascinating.
I am fascinated by seance stories in general. If anyone has one of those, please send it in. I'm trying to be a part of one too. So if you got a seat open at your table, let me know.
Holler at us. We still need to get with Jessica and Elise from 30 Morbid Minutes and go to the comedy, the Magic Castle and
the
do
Magic
a seance.
Castle.
Yes. The Magic Castle. Someday we'll do it. Well, thank you, Nata, for sending that one in. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This final one is from my daughter, Anonymous, and the subject line is medical house call plus UFO encounter. What did I see? Okay, y'all. I love you both so much. I can't give any identifying information here or describe my work in detail because I'm a medical professional and I cannot risk revealing the identity of my client for confidentiality reasons. But I can tell you I'm located in Kentucky, USA. I'm a medical professional who cares for people with severe chronic medical conditions, and I make house calls. A few days after Christmas 2021, one of my clients had to have a surprise surgery and returned home alone just a few days before New Year's. I was concerned for them as I knew they had many medical conditions and were medically fragile. So I drove out to their rural home fairly late in the evening. I got there about 8 p.m. and I ended up staying until a little after 10 p.m., administering meds, monitoring blood pressure, getting them hydrated, and just generally assisting them to get comfortable for the night. When I felt they were safe and stable enough for me to leave, I told them I would lock their front door on the way out. I knew the code. I left with plans to follow up the next day. Normally, there were some lights on outdoors, but I had not thought to turn them on, so when I went out to the porch, it was pitch black. Keep in mind, this is farmland in the middle of the countryside in Kentucky. All I could see were beautiful stars in the cold black winter sky. I stopped for a minute at the edge of the porch to just admire the stars and catch my breath, and to express gratitude unto God, the universe, or whoever, that my client was doing well and was safe for the night. And then it happened. Out of nowhere, four lights appeared in the sky, rotating. They were shaped like a capital letter D, but the inside of the letter filled in with light. The four faced each other in a circle with the flat side of the letter D facing in and rotating. They were dazzling, silver lights. I was struck dumb and I tried to get my phone to record, but when I pointed it at the lights, it didn't show anything, just darkness. I gripped the handrail of the porch, stunned and marveling. Then, about 5 to 10 seconds after they appeared, they shot away from each other soundlessly and so fast. Faster than any aircraft I know of could go, all in four different directions. They stayed apart for a few seconds, then snapped back to the central formation. This time, the rounded part of the deep was shaped
this time with the rounded part of the D shape facing one another and rotating. I could not believe what I was seeing. I just stood still, watching. And then they flew apart again, this time in wholly new directions. Then they came back together. They ascended a little higher into the sky, and then, all at once, vanished. I was shooketh. I stumbled through the dark to my car, got in, and began the drive down the one-lane road away from my client's home. I want to clarify here, I never once felt that I or my client were in any danger from these lights. If anything, they were majestic, comforting, watchful, and peaceable. About 2 or 3 minutes into this drive, the lights reappeared, up in the sky, in front of my car. They seemed to travel with me down the road, and then they disappeared. I paused on the road, and I called my dad. I told him, "Dad, I'm sorry to call you so late, but I just need to tell someone. I think I just saw a UFO, or four. I need to tell you so that I won't forget the details of what happened." My dad and I are lifelong Episcopalians, and I'm a bit of a mystic also. In the course of conversation, being right after Christmas, I said to him, "You know, I wondered at the time if maybe I was seeing the Star of Bethlehem." We both laughed, perplexed and mystified by the miraculous lights I had seen. Mostly, I was filled with a sense of awe and holy mystery that there is so much we don't know. It was so otherworldly. Since then, I've seen advanced drone shows at places like Disney World and Universal, and they are nothing like what I saw that night. Nothing in my worldly understanding could explain it. About a year later, I was at dinner with extended family. My cousin's spouse, we'll call him Dylan, was seated across from me. Several of us at the table got to talking about odd things we had seen in our lives. Being around trusted people, I told them my story. Dylan sat shocked, eyes wide. He asked specifically if I had been in a specific place, and it was exactly where I had been. He works a second shift at a place not far from there and lives out several miles down another road. He told me, while he was unsure of the date, but he knew it was just before New Year's, he was driving home and saw lights. He described them just like what I had seen. He hadn't told anyone for fear that they would think he was unhinged, but I saw them too. We saw them. So, Kentucky Sinister Hooders, what did we see? Keep it creepy, y'all. XO Anonymous.
So the past two stories, y'all okay. Got Kentucky in common. And I just looked up bases near Kentucky. And yeah, I mean, Fort Knox is in Kentucky. So we got that. And then U.S. Army Garrison. Maybe that's also Fort Knox. That's just there's a lot of shit. Fort Campbell, Fort Knox. Louisville's got the National Guard. There's a lot going on there. So the fact that it's 4, 5, 6, at least 6 people saw something happen in Kentucky, 4 of them children, 2 of them adults.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my rational side of my brain says y'all live very close to bases and shit's going on. But, you know, the blinking lights and stuff seems a little more magical than a black triangle hovering above you.
Right, in the rotation and coming apart and going together. The first one, Notch's story does sound more like experimental aircraft. And Wright-Patterson, which we talk about, General McCaslin was over that. Monica Reza worked there, and that's where a lot of the technology is going. If you're flying from Central Ohio, which is right just north of Kentucky, and if you're going to fly, I don't know, down south to the water, or you know, you might be passing down to the Gulf, for instance, or back up, you might pass over Kentucky. But yeah, I would say our anonymous story here in the end sounds a lot like Chris Bledsoe, as far as the not just seeing the orbs in the sky, especially seeing the orbs when you're calling in gratitude. You know, you had a moment before you even saw them that you were like connecting on a larger consciousness, and then for them to come down and like almost follow you, it's like maybe you're the only beacon in the middle of the darkness out there, you know, standing on the porch, and they were flying over like, oh, something friendly, let's go look at that. So it seemed like that, like a positive, like you said, you didn't seem nervous or anything, and that's might help you to read UFO of God by Chris Bledsoe and see if any of that resonates.
Yeah, and like we've said, there's a lot of sightings that happen around military bases. So both things can be true.
Yeah. And it's not to say, oh, well, because you're near a military base, you saw an orb, because the orbs fly to military bases because they know what's going on, or there's something's been activated, or they're trying to shut something down. So like you said, it could be true that it came from a base, and it's also not human. Yeah. So I'd love to get y'all to like draw your, I don't know. It's like hard because you want to get it out of your head, but it's like hard to like make it look exactly like.
I'm having trouble visualizing the D. So, well, put that on. Pull that out, Tommy. Zip. Oh my God. I'm just saying them left and right.
Giving them a lot of ammo.
Mark it.
Mark it. I'm the one that said take your pants off earlier, but you know, I was trying to think of it. Yeah. If it's like, this is like not a D shape, but it's like a moon shape, but I was trying to kind of see if it was like rotating like that, like rotating versus front over back. But I would be interested in like a drawing kind of, or
drawing.
Yeah. We need a really good artist, like somebody that could be as good as a police sketch artist, to sit down with experiencers.
Yeah.
And be like, no, it was a little brighter than that. Or it was a little bit more, you know, where somebody could use their art to help like translate people's experiences and make them feel less like crazy.
That sounds like a good side hustle for a police sketch artist.
Let's do it. If you're a good artist, put your info out there.
Yeah.
We'll connect you with all these
folks. Make it happen. Create the job you want to have.
Look at us.
Truly. Oh, man. Well, thank you to everyone that sent in your Freaky Friday stories. And if you're in Kentucky and you've seen this kind of stuff, you're obviously not alone. So we'd love to hear your stories too.
Kentucky, what the fuck is going on? That was, you know what? The whole time it was Cocaine Bear. It was just a fucking big satchel of cocaine flying through the sky. And you're like, is that a UAP? Oh, it just a huge cloud of dust exploded
like,
when
it's. Man, I feel just like I could conquer anything right now. I have so much energy.
I swear to God, I saw something. You guys don't believe it. And they're like, did you fall into some powdered sugar?
I did. Fell into something.
Don't worry
about
it.
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
Well, if you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday, which is different than the Freaky Friday film show we have, where we just talk about who we'd cast in different Freaky Fridays.
We did a 223-part analysis of the Freaky Friday film franchise. So we started from Haley Mills. We went all the way up to Jamie Lee Curtis.
I love it. I love that that is also what you thought, because
it's great.
I, too, would be like, no, that's probably not for me. And then one day I'm like, oh, I got a lot of catching up to do. This isn't anything like I thought it was.
Weird stories? I love weird stories. Yeah, welcome to Freaky Friday. We do. We love a weird story.
Mm-hmm. If you've also changed bodies with an adult or anybody, I mean, it doesn't have to be an adult, anything, not even a person, write in, please.
Please, I want to know.
Well, speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email address. You get immediate access. You get a whole backlog of content of bonus segments just for signing up for free. And you get to see all the videos before they go up on YouTube, where they have to get edited, just like how they're going to edit out how many times we said cunt in this episode.
And you get to, if you turn into this week's, you get to hear a fun new story that you never heard about ladybugs.
I don't know that I would call it a fun story, but it is a story nonetheless that I have not stopped thinking about. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well,
I see a ladybug. It's my loved one trying to talk to me. And why are there so many?
I also was dying at how I stopped you so confidently that I was like, let me guess what ladybug is going to mean.
The game. And I'm like, yeah.
What is now a tame and innocent answer compared to what it really was?
I was like, well, that's certainly a guess. Certainly a guess.
I kind of, from your reaction, thought I was in the wheelhouse.
I'm kind of close. You're like, actually, I'm glad I wasn't close at all, because I would have been sick if that was the first thing.
That would have been insane if that's what I had
called it.
Oh, you're my like, God.
I've dealt with this before. Oh man, come join us. It's fun. It's free. It is silly time. Silly time.
Yeah. Well, and if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free, like we said, just to see what we're up to, or you can join a tier and dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole? Unpopular Opinions and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That is where you join for a week at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. If you stick around for a year, do an annual membership, you get 1 month free, and you get stuff all year long.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As. You're going to hear this the day after we had this month's, but sign up for that free trial. You can go back and listen to what we talked about, because as we're filming this in just a few short hours, this dipshit that's the president of this country is going to speak,
question
mark, ramble, fall asleep on camera, shit his pants, something. And we're going to be talking about it, definitely, because it happens right before the live stream. So you're going to want to tune in to see what was said.
It was Amanda Nelson. She's really funny. Amanda's Mild Takes is her page. And she goes, "This is just goofy nonsense from a sundown and loser." Yeah. I was like, damn.
Sundown and loser town. Fuck.
Dude, that sundown goes hard. Goofy nonsense goes hard, too. I was like, goofy nonsense. Like, bring that back. Because it's goofy nonsense.
What kind of shenanigans are happening right now?
So many shenanigans.
So many. Well, you can also get mini-sodes, weekly audio bonus content, merch discounts, and of course, the community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Y'all are what makes it. Go over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for everyone that leaves kind messages and 5 stars. It means so much to us. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover. Submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, your videos for Sunday Scaries. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists. So you got somebody that in your life that likes true crime or only likes cryptids or only likes mysteries. Send them one from that and get them on board. Speaking of on board, that wasn't even intended, by the way.
That was great.
Thank you. You can find more information for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Come on down and meet the Kraken and us on Crime Wave. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to whatever it is that you got going on, we would love to celebrate with you with a customized video. It's a unique. They don't have the gift, and you don't have to put your pants on or leave the house to order it. Go to the website cameo.com/sinisterhood and get your cameo right now. Where can people find you on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the whole world wide web at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.